Britain in London has been re-awarded to us, LBC. LBC's was the first of the independent radio franchises to come up for renewal. We now look back on some of the more memorable moments of almost 9 years of news radio for London.
This is London Broadcasting, the news and information voice of independent radio. Welcome to LBC at 6 o'clock, October the 8th. My name's David Jessel, this is The Morning Show, and here's the news. This is Ken Guy with LBC News. The Middle East war. A meeting of the United Nations Security Council has been called in a bid to...
Voting yes, 188,393. Voting no, 44,222.
Strikes on from this weekend. This time, the strife has got to stop. Only you can stop it. It's time for you to speak with your vote.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
Every minute of every day, news is happening. A diplomatic breakthrough in the Middle East, a new traffic pattern in Barnet, political intrigue in high places, lunchtime theater in Islington. Big stories, little stories, they all affect you, and you need to know about them. This is where to find out what's happening in the world, in the country, and down your road. This is LBC, and this is our new sound.
What I'm saying is that the father of a Brazilian-born child cannot be extradited from Brazil, thank God. And so, with that in mind, here's to Mr. Slipper and Co.
Well, we're immediately over the A11 now, from Stratford Broadway, right back along the A11, there's what must surely be a 2 or 3 mile tailback of traffic.
It is possible to get to work without listening to Bob Holness in Helicopter 417.
You could do worse than to branch off and go along the A106 through Hackney Wick.
It might just take you a bit longer. Helicopter 417, every morning in the AM program. On LBC.
I mentioned earlier at Canning Town, that does look as though it's going to build up into a major congestion spot a little later.
You're listening to LBC, 417 medium wave, 97.3 stereo, where news comes first.
Order! Order!
Her Majesty, the Queen, has asked me to form a new administration. And I have accepted. It is, of course, the greatest honor that can come to any citizen in a democracy.
Hello, I'm Brian Hayes, and I'm coming to LBC. Starting Monday, January the 5th, you can hear the newsmakers and talk to the newsmakers every day from 10 till 1. Listen, you might have something to say.
Quick! Come to me! There have just been 3 explosions which have ripped through the embassy building. Smoke is wafting over the roofs now, and there are gunmen and there are policemen on the balcony, on the just over the doorway. They appear to be going in. That came just a short while. And there's gunfire going. I just heard one shot. And I can hear dogs barking. I'm looking through binoculars at the moment, and that was completely unexpected.
Three, two, one, down. Welcome home, Columbia. Beautiful, beautiful.
Hi, Diana Francis.
Take thee, Charles Philip Arthur George.
Take thee, Philip Charles Arthur George.
To my wedded husband.
To my wedded husband.
And so I begin my pastoral visit to Britain with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be with you.
It's 5 o'clock. This is Bill Bingham.
Argentina has invaded the Falkland Islands, and its marines have taken control of the colony, which has been in British hands for almost 100 years.
LBC keeps you informed on the Falklands crisis, the big developments as soon as they happen.
And I've just been handed more on the Falklands. The Ministry of Defence...
A Royal Navy ship fired shells during the night at a surface vessel close to the Falklands.
And thoughtful analysis as the options change.
This is a situation the government cannot accept. David Spanier at the Foreign Office.
Aircraft fire in a later British attack on the airstrip at Port Stanley. Phil Longman, IRN, Buenos Aires.
The only thing they ought to do is to get off that island.
The Sea Wolf can hit a 4.5-inch shell in flight. Paul Maurice, IRN, at the Ministry of Defence.
Now everyone is wondering just what happens next. Kim Sabido, IRN, aboard the Canberra in the South Atlantic.
It's not just the future of the Falklands at stake, but the future of Mrs. Thatcher as well. Peter Allen, IRN, Westminster.
LBC on the Falklands crisis. Informed, fast.
The Independent Broadcasting Authority has announced that the franchise for the All News radio station in London has been re-awarded to the London Broadcasting Company, LBC. LBC will also continue to supply the national and international news service for all the independent radio stations in the UK through its subsidiary, Independent Radio News.
9 years of LBC News Radio, and let me tell you, tonight on Nightline between 9 and midnight, Ron Onions, LBC's editorial director, will be explaining what listeners can be expecting in the future. On this, the day, of course, that the IBA gave us the go-ahead for LBC to operate for another 9 years. That's Nightline with Dan Damon and your calls between 9 and midnight on LBC.
You're listening to LBC. And this is Nightline.
A sound from the past, and we'll be spending some time in this first hour looking back and looking forward with LBC itself. After the news and sport at 11 o'clock, your opinion counts, and at 10, Percy Thrower with important news for begonia sufferers and gardening advice as well, of course. Now, in this part of the programme, some cringing deference from me, because let me introduce you to my boss, the editorial director of LBC News Radio, Ron Onions. Ron, nice to have you in the studio. The reason you're here is to sign a few cheques, which are outstanding. But before we get round to that, let's talk about the news released by the Independent Broadcasting Authority today, that the franchise to operate the news radio station in London will be retained by the London Broadcasting Company. That's us. I think it's important that the listeners to LBC get the chance to understand more fully what's been happening during the last few weeks of the application period and what the future holds for the station now that the LBC future itself is secure. If you want to ask Ron Onions a question about LBC's future or suggest what changes might be appropriate now that the future is secure for another 9 years at least, then the phone number is 353-8111. Now, I suppose we should define some terms. What is the franchise for? Is it a license to print money?
Yes. No, it's not a license to print money. Yes, let's define it. And I suppose the best way of doing that is to look at something that people will have had greater experience of, independent television. There, every several years, every 8 years, the various companies who hold a franchise, a license really, to go on broadcasting to a particular area, have to go back to the Independent Broadcasting Authority, who run these things, and prove their worthiness, their fitness to carry on. And all of the companies have been through that process. Granada, various companies in London, and of course we've had a fairly recent experience where Southern Television, who were the contractor for the south and southeast of England, having held that franchise, that licence, for 25 years, rather surprisingly, lost it. And there is now a new contractor in that part of the country, TBS, as indeed there is one in the west of England. Now, radio, independent radio in this country, to cut it fairly short, is organised on roughly similar lines. LBC was the very first independent commercial radio station to get a licence in 73. My dates are right, aren't they? Yes, 73. And therefore, 8 years or thereabouts has elapsed, and we are the first to resubmit ourselves. And we have done that, and there was one other applicant, and I'm very pleased, and I hope you are, not least because we'll go on paying your checks, that we've been successful in winning that licence again, and therefore both LBC, the news radio station for London, and through our associated company, Independent Radio News, which provides national and international news to all of the other independent radio stations. There are 34 at the moment, two or three to come in the very near future. We supply that service to them, and that has been part of the franchise reapplication. We will carry on doing both those things. LBC for London, Independent Radio News for London and the rest of the country.
And not a bigger area, or not more transmitters?
No change in that. We were invited to think about the possibility that sometime in the future one could put out one service on the medium wave, on which we're broadcasting, and a different service on VHF, on which we're also broadcasting at the present time. Whether we could have this discussion on medium wave even as we are broadcasting a commentary of the Arsenal-Spartak match, whether that's still on. That's a consideration. No decision has been made about that.
Well, now, I think it might be sobering to look at the black side. If the franchise had been lost to, as you said, the only other applicant, London Sound, what would have been the procedure? What would have happened? Would it automatically come tomorrow had been a different company running the station?
No, we would have soldiered on for another year or so, since our original franchise had another year to run. The members of staff, yourself, our splendid producer and engineer, and all the other members of staff here, or 170 or so people, would have carried on, but gradually the new group would have moved in and assumed management command with an understanding, I think, that the people employed here would be given an opportunity to continue working here.
But that isn't what's going to happen. What was the procedure that you had to go through in order to impress the IBA? Was sitting tenancy an important part of that?
I think that's something that somebody from the IBA would answer rather better. Obviously, as sitting tenants, or as the government, if you like, if one can use that example, defending its record, we had some strengths. Though, as with a sitting tenant or a government defending its record, one can begin to look a bit long in the tooth or a bit boring, and maybe the feeling might have been that time for a change. So those were considerations. I think, in the event, what the IBA did was to consider, one, the very detailed written application that both groups, LBC and the rival group, had to submit, a really weighty tome in which we stated our proposals for every aspect of broadcasting, programmes, the engineering aspect, very important to them, advertising, can we live in these difficult times and make money from advertising enough to continue running the station, those kind of things, the financial structure of the company, the composition of the board, where the money is coming from. We had to write all that down, weighty tome, as I say, 2 inches thick, with various additions to it of a specialist nature. And having done that, and submitted that in good time, and meanwhile having attended public meetings organised by the Independent Broadcasting Authority, at which we had to sit up on a platform, a bit like clay pigeons, and be shot at by people who turned up at that meeting, which we advertised on this station and so on. Having done that, we then had to appear at the authority, at the IBA, last week for the oral, as it were. And we appeared before the members of the authority. There are 12 members of the Independent Broadcasting Authority representing the various areas of the country, of the United Kingdom, and they serve a term of years and are changed. And they sit with the regular, if I can put it that way, the regular members, the Director General, Sir Brian Young at the present time, the Chairman, Lord Thompson, And those people face the, in our case, the LBC group. Some 10 or 11 of us went along and fire questions. They've read the application and then they give you a going over verbally. And it's like all those examinations. One goes into it feeling fairly nervous and fairly highly strung, and the adrenaline flows. I think in the event we gave a good account of ourselves, and certainly, as we now know, it was a successful performance.
And there was a sense around the business that because this was the first reapplication for a radio station, there might be a feeling in the authority that they had to make a change just to prove that the procedure was worth going through. Now, obviously, they've avoided that, but that was a temptation. If you'd like to talk to Ron Onions, editorial director of LBC, about LBC itself, about the future of the operation that we run here, and in particular, if you'd like to consider what that future holds outside our own control, if you like, you can talk about breakfast television and the way that'll affect what we do in the mornings, and you can talk about Channel 4 and what that'll affect in the evenings, and about the cable revolution, about the different opportunities for people to spend their time other than listening to radio and how that might affect us. And if you'd like to talk about the programmes themselves, then that'll be all right. 353-8111. Don't necessarily want to have a fan club build up for any one presenter or programme or anything like that. To talk about the principle and the important details of running news radio, because that's what we are about. There was a, in the other application, Ron, there was a suggestion that music should be played. Now, we don't play music, and we've been tempted to do it on occasions, but generally it's not been seen to be successful. Would it have been all right? Could you have decided to play music from now on?
I'm personally against featuring music on the station in any substantial way, principally because there are, six, seven other radio stations, four BBC national channels, Capital Radio, Radio London, the BBC local, Radio Luxembourg, all of which feature music in some form or another. So I think London is well served with music programming. Therefore, if we are to be totally different, and I think it's important that we should be as a news radio station, I would avoid music, and I would want to continue that. And I think that's right. I think it confuses the audience, finally. We're a news radio station. This is where you get news. This is where you get speech. This is where, by and large, there are exceptions, as you know, but by and large, not music.
Your calls to Ron Onions, editorial director of LBC, on the day that LBC keeps its franchise to run the news operation in London and to provide the independent radio news network, which provides the other commercial stations with their news service on the hour. Audrey is our first caller in Hendon. Audrey, good evening.
Yes, good evening. Congratulations to you both. And I think that you thoroughly deserve it. I've listened to LBC since its inception with the first programmes with Adrian Love. I've listened with added admiration for you ever since, as I say, I don't know how many years even anymore it is, but I am absolutely thrilled that you've got your extra lease of life now, let's put it that way. My question to you is this, that seeing how you've now progressed and it's grown out of all proportion, especially the phone-in shows, which I think are absolutely excellent, they're run beautifully, and they have grown so well, and the content now is so interesting from the, I'm afraid to say, the rubbish that was first brought over the airs to what you hear today. It's absolutely excellent. I'd like to see, where do you see yourself going from now on? How do you see a change? You say you must be different, but you don't want music. Can you see, in which way do you see LBC growing?
Not too many changes, Audrey, really, because if I were to say now we're going to do all kinds of amazing things for the future, a response, and a justifiable response, might be, why didn't you do them in the past? So I think we would like to go on doing what we have been doing well, certainly in the past 2 years or so, when we've very much refined LBC programming. I would want to continue doing that for the future. I would want to get better at it. If I can narrow it down just a bit, I would say that having got our basic news and information programming right, and I think we have, our latest audience research gave us
our highest ever audience figures. I would like for the future, for the rest of the 80s, to get just a little closer to the audience, to speak to the particular issues that are a preoccupation for Londoners. And indeed, we've already begun that process. We've been running a drugs project, as you may know, in which we've featured the problems of drug addiction affecting Londoners, but not merely as a discussion. We've had a backup service of referral to people who are experts and can advise. Having done that, we're going to do a similar exercise, touching upon stress in the family, with a similar support from one of the large London health education services. I mean, much more of that, to provide a service which gets us somewhat closer to the community than we've been in the past. I also think about the issues that are likely to remain of enormous importance to London in the years ahead. Unemployment, I think we're going to have to pay increasing attention to. I don't think it's going to go away that quickly, is it? That I think serving a multiracial community as we do, we must always be alive to how in our programming, in our news, we are serving a total community and not merely parts of it. I don't want to sound too pompous, but I think we have a duty, having been given this franchise, to provide a service for everyone and to integrate the community, not to worsen any divisions that exist.
Now, Audrey says we've improved, which is kind of her. I suppose from this secure position we can look back and admit some mistakes. What were some of the mistakes that still perhaps make you blush? Or even before you took over, because I know that you weren't a member of the original management team. Are there some errors which perhaps any new radio station has to go through?
I think, in a sense, many of the original errors were perhaps inevitable. However good the original team was who organised the station and put it to air, it is certainly true that independent radio in this country, and that means at the beginning LBC, did not start at the best of times. There was serious economic problems for an organisation launching itself upon the public and depending on advertising revenue, 3-day week and so on. Having said that, I think this organisation probably made every mistake in the book in the first year or so, and everyone has amazing tales to tell of what went wrong. You know, the tapes played at 10 times the normal speed, or the programmes that didn't exist, or the awful panics when no one was around to present the programmes and so on. Those tales there are a million of them. But there was a certain inevitability about that. I think we've learned from those mistakes, and we've gradually become better. We've become intensely professional, and that's been a very real achievement.
I suppose getting the new franchise gives a different financial perspective as well, and in a while we'll talk about that. You were talking about getting closer to Londoners, and you mentioned the projects that we've been involved in. In fact, tomorrow on this programme we'll have a consultant physician from the Society of Occupational Medicine talking about stress, and in particular how it happens at work. That's Joe Kearns, if you'd like to join us tomorrow for that on Nightline. But let's turn tonight to Roger, who's in Brixton. Roger, good evening.
Good evening. I was just wondering, Mr. Onions, whether Capital went through the same process at the same time. Did they, being an independent radio channel?
No, they did not, but they will have to do so in 1 year's time. Both the stations, LBC and Capital, went on air at roughly the same time, but for particular reasons, which would bore you were I to go into them, LBC decided to apply to the IBA to go for the franchise renewal 1 year earlier. 1 year early. Otherwise, we would have been doing it at the same time as Capital. Capital's turn comes up about a year from now, and they will have to subject themselves to exactly the same process.
And presumably there might be more applicants for a station that plays music and does have a bigger listenership. It's fair to say that since they have a slightly easier job, if I dare say that, they don't have to fill 24 hours with speech, but they can fill a lot of it with music, then they can attract more people. They spend more money. So does that mean that there's likely to be a bigger competition for that franchise?
I think it's reasonable to assume that, that there will be more groups applying for the franchise, yes.
Roger, thanks for that. 353-8111, if you'd like to talk to Ron Onions, who's the editorial director of LBC. Let me remind you that today is the day we won the franchise continuance, if you like. We've been running this radio station, not me and not Ron, but there have been people running a radio station called LBC since 1973, and we had to reapply to the IBA, as to all radio stations and television stations, and the news came through today after a meeting on Thursday when the directors of the station were grilled on their competence from the IBA that the franchise continues to be LBC's. Chris is in Kilburn. Chris, good evening to you.
Good evening. Listen, I appreciate your programme and also the fact that you've got your franchise back, but I would like to point out that we still don't have, by any means, commercial radio in this country. There was a very good sort of whitewash job done some years ago, which, as you know, was partly done by the Radio Caroline and pirate stations. And the BBC didn't want to back down for a long, long time. For a short while, we had some kind of freedom in the radio, and we had a lot of DJs come up, a lot of different music played. Then that was all closed down, and they got a franchise on it. And now we have, apart from your service, which is, as you say, a speech and news service, as far as the music services goes, we have Capital Radio, which does practically identical thing to Radio 1, which I don't personally like one bit. There's no jazz station. There's no reggae station. There's no station for Indians. There's no station for minorities. You know, if you go to New York or somewhere, as I'm sure you must have been, look at the radio stations there, and the criteria there is, if you've got advertising coming in, you still have to get a license. You know, you can't just be anyone to open a station. You have to satisfy certain, just like you've got a franchise, you know, can't just be anybody. But if you've got the money coming in from the advertising, then, you know, you can put out the programs and you can provide a service. Now we've
okay, well, let Ron comment on that, because he is well fitted, actually, to talk about America. He worked there, not in radio, but in television, but he knows the way that broadcasting operates in America. Do you think an American situation could be operated in this country, Ron?
I don't think it could be just like that. The American system, of course, that exists there today has developed over 50 or 60 years. Now, I'm not necessarily opposed to what Chris is saying, but, of course, finally, it's a decision which won't be taken by you or me or anyone at LBC. It's a decision for the Independent Broadcasting Authority and the Home Office and, therefore, the government. I think a major there are two major considerations, I would have thought. My engineering friends will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there would be a problem about the frequencies, the wavelengths on which you broadcast, if there were the kind of proliferation of stations that Chris is talking about. The other problem, and it's a serious one, and it's one that I hope we can deal with in our next 9 years, and which all independent radio can deal with, is the question of advertising. We have done well in getting ourselves established, but the fact is that independent radio ought to be attracting far more of the what is called the our share of the national advertising cake. At the moment we get not much more than 2% of the national share of our share of the national advertising. Is about just over 2%. Now, that's too small. And the problem about bringing in many more news stations might be that they would have to compete for this, at the moment, fairly limited amount of cash to sustain themselves.
Well, whose fault is that? Is it those who work in radio, or is it the advertising industry? We were talking on this program about a fortnight ago to a radio station in Lubbock, Texas. They've got a population of 220,000. There are 14 radio stations. Well, they're all living on advertising. You can't imagine that situation arising here. So why is it so different?
Well, I think that the independent radio industry, if I can put it that way, has a job to do itself in selling itself to advertisers, making sure that they're aware that we exist and can do a job for them. I think the situation will be eased as more and more independent radio stations arrive on air and thus give
what the advertiser would regard as national coverage, an ability to advertise his or her product right across the United Kingdom. And we're getting close to that point. As I said earlier, there are now 34 stations on air. There'll be, I think, three opening... in the next 10 days or so, Preston and Blackpool area, one in Hereford and one in Wiltshire, and that will take us to 37 stations. So it's developing, but until we get more of revenue advertising money into the existing system, I think ideas of the kind that Chris has are a bit pie in the sky. I think all those extra stations would founder for want of money.
It's no big secret that there was a time when LBC was very tight for money. That was, I suppose, part of being born in the three-day week. And so there was some recourse to money from another country, from Canada. Now, the shareholding by a Canadian company is quite large. Was the IBA in any way unhappy about that when you reapplied for the franchise?
I don't think they were unhappy. I think they could obviously speak for themselves better than I can for them, but I think they took the view that the Canadian group, who are large shareholders in this company, had put in their money in earlier years at a time when, I have to say, no British companies were prepared to stump up and support us at a time when we badly needed support. From my point of view, their influence has been to the good, and any suggestion that they bought their way into the company in an attempt to dominate what we do, you do, I do, totally wrong. Their influence has been only for the good.
Why did we need Canadian money then? Because obviously with a radio station operating in London, and the city of London as it is, there's enough money about 200 yards up the road if I walked around trying to get investment from the people that I can see with nameplates on all sorts of impressive banks and so on. I would have thought we could get money.
I think that might be the situation now, Dan, were we looking around for money. But at the time that we're talking, going back to the mid-70s, it was not so. People were not prepared to chip in the way that the Canadians were and did.
Any change in that?
There's no intention to change that, although we have, not to bore our listeners, but we have said in our application to the Independent Broadcasting Authority that we would like to make some part of our shareholding available to staff, and that obviously, if we are to make 10% of our shareholding available to members of staff here, obviously reduce the amount that's available to other shareholders.
Now, the reason we're being so self-indulgent on this evening is that we learned today from the IBA that LBC, the London Broadcasting Company, will keep its franchise to run a news radio station and to provide the news network around the country for the other commercial stations. We'll be talking to Ron Onions, editorial director of LBC, until 10 o'clock. If you'd like to talk about the future of radio or its past, if you want to slag us off for what's gone before, that'd be fine. And to put us in the mood before the news at 9:30, here's one of the original 1973 LBC jingles.
Commonwealth Games begin in Brisbane this week, and you can follow the highlights of the world's greatest sporting event after the Olympics here on LBC. Each morning there'll be live reports from Brisbane in AM with a roundup of all the day's action in LBC reports. You'll be hearing from the gold medal winners, the record breakers, and the unlucky losers too. results, reports and interviews, the fastest Commonwealth Games service from LBC Sport, the best team in town.
This is Nightline.
And that is one of the original Nightline jingles on LBC News Radio. And the reason that we are looking back as well as looking forward on this part of the programme tonight is that LBC has the franchise for another 9 years to run the news operation in London. That was announced by the IBA today. And with me is Ron Onions, who's the editorial director of LBC, and your questions to him about radio in general and about LBC in particular and about the future as well. Dennis is first in Southall. Dennis, good evening.
When I was young enough to work, I worked for a great many years at London Airport, and one of the big pleasures there was that we could talk over things with a vast number of people. I enjoyed that, and I miss it. Here on phone-ins, the presenter usually comes down on your side, or the opposite, and that's the end of that topic. I wonder, could the presenters be more like chairmen rather than judges, so that the topic could be sort of kept going? When you think that in the next 2 years we're going to have to decide who's in government, it would be much better if we talk these things over with people rather than just getting as far as the radio station. That's my point.
I think Dan can speak for himself as to his own technique. I would have thought by and large presenters do act as chairman, though that's not their only role. Part of their job is to draw out the caller and, I think, make sure that he or she gets an opportunity to put their point in the best possible way. The other point I would make, and I'm sure Dan wants to come in, is that we are, to some extent, are we not, in the entertainment business. We have to ensure that what we're presenting to you at any given time of the day, and obviously in phone-ins too, is entertaining. We have to so arrange things that we move the discussion on so that people do not get bored.
I don't want to say too much about it because obviously I'd like people not to get confused by the technique and so avoid what is a discussion. And I think it is drawing out of discussion that's important, and it also is a personal style. And I think if I sat here being very judicious, that wouldn't really help to make what is a difficult subject listenable, and that's always the problem. So I don't want to spend too much time defending the style, and I think it's interesting that we get a lot of letters to this programme, some of which say I talk too much and others of which say I don't talk enough. I suppose it is because it is me here every night that people begin to identify with me, but I try and avoid making it too personal. At the same time, I'm bound to identify with a certain style, and you'll identify me with it. But I suppose that we'll work that out between the two of us, you and me. I mean, you at home and me here. And it's up to you to speak up for yourself, and Dennis has. Jeff is next. Jeff, good evening to you.
Good evening, Dan. Good evening, Ron. With the declining rate of tourism in London, wouldn't you think, being London Broadcasting, it would be very interesting to put across to the public and also the tourists the many more interesting places in London, which are just down the road from you, like Clerkenwell, the Clerkswell, and many of the livery companies, as opposed to just now and again it's mentioned the Tower of London, or when a book comes out, there's Messrs. Kirkuch and Rodney Bennett, with a sort of slight piece of information, sort of going, battering into something and just telling us roughly what goes on. Couldn't you get a report on the old part of London and how it built up? And I think this would do tourism a lot of good.
We do quite a lot of that, don't we? We at one time ran a regular programme which was called, I think, London Unlimited, which concentrated on that. And there was an earlier one called Our Kind of Town. And we used to have, grasping at his name, is it Peter Jackson, who is an authority on London, bygone London, you know, ways and byways and so on and so forth. The other problem is, I would have thought, if you're beaming at tourists, how do you get tourists to listen to LBC in the first place if they're coming from America or abroad or from some other part of the UK? That's the problem. You could concentrate a lot on items for tourists and not actually have too many tourists listening.
I think what Jeff uncovers is that there is a difference between London news and national and international news. Now, this operation is providing if it gets it right, a mixture. And somebody has to take the decision as to which is more important. And I suppose, and you can read the newspapers and get the same mixture, it is national and international affairs which do come out on top. Local news, for we British, somehow isn't quite as important, certainly in the capital city anyway. Would you agree with that?
To a degree, but I do think it represents the difference. I do think it's another means of getting very close to the audience, and that, you know, there's a saying in journalism that that what happens round the corner is 100 times more interesting than what happens in Abu Dhabi or wherever. I think we're still working at the correct balance. One of the problems with London news is, what is London news? It is clearly not the kind of very local news that ought to be and is rightly featured only in the Richmond Bugle or the Chiswick Trumpet. But there are other issues of tremendous importance to all Londoners, rates, transport and so on and so forth, which we are right to devote quite a lot of time to, and we do. And also pointing up the things that the caller is saying, the attractive features of London, historic London. I think we do quite a lot of it, in fact. Trouble is, it's 24 hours a day, and unless you listen to 24 hours a day, and not even I do that, you can miss so much of what we do.
In fact, Peter Jackson, who you mentioned, Ron, appears with
Carol. Peter Jackson.
Yes, he appears with Carol Thatcher still, occasionally, on Saturday's Nightline, and also on Night Extra with Therese Birch now and again. We do cover the kind of things, I suppose, that some of the research that's been done about LBC's programming tells you when and what people want to hear about.
Yes. Well, research is important to us. It's not the be-all and end-all of a broadcaster's existence, but it is, we believe, a fairly faithful guide to who is listening, at what times, why they're listening, their age and so on and so forth.
Jeff, thanks for the question. Now, Robert is next. He lives in Camden. Robert, your question to Ron Onions, LBC Editorial Director.
Thank you, Dan. Good evening. Good evening, Ron, and best of luck on retaining the franchise. But my question to you is, how far do you think the franchise was swayed in LBC's direction by the fact that I believe your sister proponent station was not going to broadcast phone-ins until the early hours of the morning?
I don't know. You would have to ask the IBA that. We went into the interview with the IBA, and we stressed it in our application, believing that phone-ins are important to us, that we do phone-ins after a great deal of experiment, a great deal of trial and error, very well indeed, and that we would wish to continue them for the future, and that in believing that we had the support of a very considerable section of our audience.
Robert?
Yep, I believe that phone-ins are a very important part of LBC, and it does give the normal listener the chance to respond to major news stories. But the point I have to make here, Rod, is that many people, not me, will say that maybe there's a little too much phone-in on LBC. Would you reserve the point that maybe 5 hours of phone-in a day, which is almost a quarter of the time taken by LBC, is perhaps a little bit too much?
I'm surprised you're saying that it's as much as that. There's 2 hours in the morning, about an hour of phone-in in the middle of the afternoon, and this one in the evening. And we broadcast 24 hours a day. I mean, I'm bad at maths, but that adds up to about a quarter of the total at most. I would have thought that mixture is about right. There was a time when we devoted much more time to phone in. I think we've now got the balance right. It's an opportunity, having heard a flow of news and information programming, for the listener then to have his or her, the opportunity to express his or her own view of the news and so on. I think the mixture is right now, and the research suggests it is, and the reaction that we get from listeners by letter, by programmes like this, by and large suggests it is. Could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Is phone-in cheap programme?
Not necessarily. It's been dismissed in the past as cheap programming. It can be. I won't charge you anything for appearing, Dan, but you're enormously expensive. No, I mean, it varies. We have gradually introduced a policy where we have got away from the phone-in that was only the presenter and the audience and went rambling on for 2 or 3 hours, and introduced guests
on specific topics, and I think that's right. Now, obviously, inviting those people into the studio and getting them here and looking after them, there is a cost factor, and sometimes it can be high and sometimes it can be low, but it's not cheap programming.
What about the other criticism of it is that it gives you the excuse not to do proper access, because you think that by providing the phone line, the open line, to the audience, you're then allowing different access groups to get their point of view over, whereas what they would really like to do, those access groups, is actually make their own half hour or longer of programme.
Yes, I don't really know what proper access is, but let's suppose that the phone-ins deny people to express the widest possible range of views, from the far left to the far right, with every conceivable opinion in between. And I don't think we do in phone-ins deny that opportunity. But if we do, there is certainly an enormous amount of other programming in which we give an airing on almost any topic you care to mention. Every subject under the sun is covered in the course of a week, a month, on LBC. I would be very surprised if there's a group which actually does not get its view across, to some extent proportionate to its size, of course.
We do still, though, operate a kind of professional control on all areas of programming. Now, the kind of access which is asked for by certain people is that you just give half an hour of the airwaves to a group. We provide them with totally neutral technical facility, but no editorial control at all. Now, that has been tried in some areas and not successfully, perhaps for all sorts of reasons. But would you be prepared to try it here on LBC? Well,
one of the problems is that the way the law works at the moment, we are required to exercise editorial control all the time that we're broadcasting. And we have that responsibility in law to the Independent Broadcasting Authority, who have given us this franchise again, to be responsible for every minute that we broadcast. So we can't sort of hive off half an hour and say, OK, Buster, come in and say whatever you like. It's not as simple as that.
Robert, thanks for that question. Let's turn to Mary now. Mary, what's your question to Ron Onions?
I'd like to know what your policy is regarding reporting matters on the royal family. Could I just list why I ask that?
Yes, tell me briefly why you ask it.
Family a while ago was in a bit of a turmoil, and we heard about it every hour. A little while ago, another member of the family had a bit of a tiff with her partner. I think it was you or some of the other presenters. Now, come along, tell us what you think of that. When somebody gave the royal baby an odd present, they said, now, come along, what do you think of that extravagance or something like that? Someone was very rude to the Queen, and someone rang up and said to it, and the presenter said, well, why shouldn't they be? Another presenter said, I'm not particularly patriotic. I've never heard LBC praise them. Is it a policy that you down them?
All right. Now, Mary, we're having a bit of cross line, so we'll leave you there and we'll put the question to Ron. Are we anti-monarchist on this radio station?
Certainly not a policy to down them or anybody else. Our policy in reporting matters affecting the royal family is to report all those matters, and sometimes they are not necessarily favourable to the royal family, but all of those matters which are of, which we judge to be of public interest. Now, we have our own court correspondent, one of a very few people in the broadcast medium who is accredited to the palace, and he has regular communication, regular contact with palace people, and he is there to report and to advise us on how we can properly and fairly report matters pertaining to the royal family. I think, by and large, we have done a good job in that area, and I'm slightly surprised at your criticism.
We do have to adopt an impartial pose, and I suppose that because of that we can be knocked from both sides. Newspapers don't have to do that. Are you still sure, because we try to be impartial, we don't come out as being establishment as well?
That is obviously always a danger, but I have now worked in broadcasting, both for the BBC and for independent radio and television, for upwards of 20 years, and
I've learned to live with what, in both sectors, is undue impartiality. I enjoy working, and I've worked in newspapers. I prefer broadcasting. I accept the additional burden, if you like, that being impartial imposes upon us. And I think, by and large, that's splendid. It's a means of ensuring that every conceivable point of view and opinion is aired. And come back to what we were discussing a moment ago.
Well, there are arguments about that, and if you want to continue that argument, you can do it perhaps on our open line part of the programme, which is after 11 o'clock. We're talking to Ron Onions, editorial director of LBC, until 10. Shirley is next. Shirley, good evening.
Good evening. Mr. Onions, could you tell me, we've been discussing how much promotion there is on radio and television of late, of books that are coming out. But where does promotion end and advertising start? Where do you draw the line with it?
Do you have something in mind, Shirley?
Not anything in particular. It is just that there's a lot of promotion on all channels now, isn't there?
It's
and on the television.
It's an interesting question, as people on the radio say when they are immediately stumped for an answer. I do have an answer. Our policy is to try and avoid puffing, as we would say, plugging something that is blatantly commercial. Books, records, plays, films come into an area which is, we would regard, and I think the laws under which we operate regard as works of art. And I think we have a duty to review books and movies and theatre, those things which there is enormous interest in, and where, yes, there is an element of publicising the book, but I think it's right and proper for us to draw attention, the attention of the listeners, to the best of these things.
And there are strict rules, as you say, laid down by the IBA. Well, just finally and briefly, Ron, you have a future of 9 years during which there will be new television opportunities and even new radio opportunities for people. Do you think that LBC is going to have a real struggle over the next 9 years?
I think that we have a fight on our hands in competing for an audience for whom there are increasing demands on its attention. Breakfast television isn't far away. Channel 4 is to come. There's what has been called the video explosion. All these things which compete for the listener and the viewer's attention. And that just means, I think, that we have to, as I said earlier, do what we're doing now better. We have to smarten up and go out there and make sure that we give listeners the best possible product.
That's Ron Onions, who's the editorial director of LBC, and this is Nightline.
In 1975, we wanted to claim that Head & Shoulders worked better than any ordinary dandruff shampoo. We had to prove it first. So we started a series of independent clinical trials known as the half-head test. Since then, hundreds of dandruff sufferers have had half their hair washed in an ordinary dandruff shampoo and half in Head & Shoulders twice a week for a month. The results are conclusive. Head & Shoulders works better. Listen to what Simon Osman said about Head & Shoulders after the test.
The Head & Shoulders side is completely clear. It's amazing. You've proved it.
The half-head test proves Head & Shoulders works better. Now prove for yourself that with regular use, Head & Shoulders clears dandruff ordinary dandruff shampoos leave behind.
This is LBC's Nightline programme, and we've been indulging in a little bit of self-importance over the last hour, because today the IBA announced that LBC retains its franchise to operate the news radio operation in London and also to provide news for the commercial stations around Britain. If you've an opinion about LBC and about the future of its franchise, then if you've not been able to get through in this hour, you can write to us, of course, to Newsview and or Radio Write-In. And the address for that is LBC, P.O. Box 261, London EC4P 4LP. That's Newsview or Radio Write-In, and that's LBC, P.O. Box 261, London EC4P 4LP. This is one of the original jingles that began LBC's career. That's 8 years ago. We'll have Percy Thrower with us for the next part of Nightline. 353 8111 on LBC.
On the hour, every hour, from LBC. It's 10 o'clock. This is Steve Crozier. A Soviet Aeroflot airliner has crashed tonight in Luxembourg. The plane, with around 260 people on board, was coming into land after a flight from Moscow when the crash occurred. There are no...